Now we're holding on Sofiot Zion on the days at the beginning of the Gemara. So to recap, we started learning yesterday about there are certain kinds of things that are not in and of themselves food, but they go together with the food, and they're normally eaten together to some extent, and therefore they're all combined together as far as tumas oichlin. So if you have, for example, you have a kibetza, or you need a kibetza of food to be makabel tuma, according to many rishonim, then that kibetza can partly be made out of skin or juice or meat juice that's on the surface or various other things that we listed in the Mishnah. On the other hand, not tumas nevelus. For nevela, you're going to need actual kezias of the flesh of the animal itself, or at least of things that are part of the body and not the juice or spices or things like that. So the Gemara says, Tanein alahad tanin abanan. Well, when we said, and now, so those kinds of things, the skin, for example, is an example of what we started talking about yesterday of a shomer. It's something that protects the food that's below it, like a peel of a fruit or things like that. And here we're saying that it doesn't count towards the amount for tumas nevelus. It won't count towards the kezias. So Rashi points out, by the way, in the Mishnah, of the various things we listed in the Mishnah, some of them are not counting because even though they're a shomer, such as the skin, some of them, such as the juice or the spices, are not actually part of the nevela itself. And other things that we mentioned, the olol and the gibim, are not considered flesh. So therefore they don't count. So the Gemara says, Tarnena lahod etonen abalim. Well then, with that, in the Mishnah, we're learning briefly in the Mishnah what it says in a Braisa more explicitly. And that means, in other words, we can take it that Braisa is accurate and we can follow it lahalacha. Namely, where the Braisa says, etonen abalim, shomrim l'tumah kala v'le shomrim l'tumah chamora. When it comes to tumah kala, when it comes to a lesser degree of tumah, namely the tumah of foods and drinks, they're called tumah kala in the sense that, at least on a daraisa level, they're not going to be metabolic people or kalim, as opposed to tumah chamura, such as an nevela, is metabolic a person who touches or can't be seen. So shrimim, the tumah kala, so when it comes to tumah kala, to a lesser type of tumah sarichlim, then a shrimer does count as part of the food itself, as we're now going to work out in the Gemara. The in shrimim, the low shrimim, the tumah chamura, but when it comes to tumah chamura, when it comes to a stronger kind of tumah, namely tumas nevela, then the shrimer does not count as, then the shrimer does not count as part of it. So shomrim the tumah kala min nolan. So where do we know, where's the source in the pasuk that when it comes to tumah kala, when it comes to food becoming tamei? Now also, when we talk about food becoming tamei over here, we're going to talk about, further on in the Gemara, we're going to talk about, you can talk about lahaknis for lahoitzi. Lahaknis means to bring in the tumah, lahoitzi means to spread it to something else. So we're going to have to talk about that as far as when we talk about the shomer, and we talk about another thing called a yad, which means a handle for the food. We're going to have to talk about under what circumstances are we talking about that it's considered part of the food as far as lahachness, to bring in the tumah. Namely, in other words, if a source of tumah, for example, touches the peel, then it will transmit to the food itself. That's called lahachnis. Whereas lahoitzi would be, if the food itself is tamei, then if the peel itself, if the peel of that food touches some other food, then it will be metamei it. So we're going to talk about that. But first, let's see, how do we know with tumah kala that you have the whole concept of a shomer that it counts as part of the food? So the answer is, the Tanah Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, that when the pasuk describes about food becoming tamei, the expression in the pasuk is, al kol zera zeirua. On any seed which is planted, and even you have there are gusoris that have also the continuation of the pasuk asher yizareya that will be planted. So that means, says Rabbi Shmuel, kederach shebnei adam etziyim lezriya. So it means that food can become tamei in the way that people take it out to plant. Chita b'klipasa, the grains of wheat people take out to plant, still with the shells on them. Usurda b'klipasa, and similarly barley grains with the shells on them. Va'adoshim b'klipasa, and lentils in their shells. So even though the shells themselves, before you process them for food, you're going to remove them, but nevertheless, when it comes to planting, you still leave them on, and we see that the pasuk is saying that when the seed or other kind of food is in the state in which it's planted, then it's still going to tumah, then tumah still applies. Now, Tosfos points out, here we're not even talking about lahotzi or lahachnes. We're not talking about this business of whether the shomer is able to transmit tumah to the food or to spread tumah from that food to somebody else. That we're going to get to soon. That we learn from something else, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Right now, we're talking about as far as tziruf, the fact that these peels and shells can count towards the kibetza, that we're learning from this pasuk. Now, Tosfos also points out, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that we can learn that people, when people are normally buried in tacharichim and la'asid lavay, when there's chias hanesim, they will come alive still in their tacharichim. And the Gemara points out, after all, you plant a wheat kernel, for example, naked without any coverings on it, and yet it comes out of the ground as a stalk of grain with many coverings on it. Salachas kamal kamal, then people will come alive by chias hanesim. Tosfos says, wait a minute though, you were saying that you do plant them with their shells on them. Fine, Tosfos says what it means is, regardless whether you plant it with or without the shells, people will plant it either way it comes out with many wrappings of shells on it. So fine, our Gemara can be saying that it's sometimes you do plant a wheat kernel still with the shells on it, and that's still considered, and that the pasuk continues, alchol zera zerua. Mind you, Rashi points out, that actual pasuk is actually talking about saying that it's not makabel tumah. So how are we learning from it to be makabel tumah? Fine, but the point is, the next pasuk continues, this pasuk is saying, you know why it's not makabel tumah? Because it hasn't been wedded with one of the shiva mashkin yet. It hasn't been wedded with one of the seven things that are considered liquids in halacha. Then the next pasuk continues, that if it's wedded, and then tumah falls on it, then it becomes tumah. So therefore we can say that this pasuk, alcho zera zerua, shevi zereya, is in fact telling us the rules of how food becomes tumah when it's mukshu makabel tumah. Okay. Next, next, how do we know that there's no concept of a shomer as far as tumah chamura? Where again, when you have nevela, then the skin on it is not going to count towards the kezias. So where do we know that from? So this, we have another braisa. The Tana Rabbana, we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says benivlosa, that if a person touches the nevela, the dead body of an animal, that means the word benivlosa means veloy ba'osha in of kezayis baser. That would not apply if he touches a piece of skin that does not have a kezayis of flesh on it. Kezayis is the minimum amount to be matame. So therefore, so if there's no kezayis of meat on it, then he remains tahor. Continues the Braisa, Yochel Hanegeir Keneged Bosom Achod of Lo Yehi Tomei. Now you would think then that if a person were to touch the skin behind the meat, so let's say there is a kezias of meat on there, and then you have skin attached there, and then he touches the skin side, so you would think that he should not become Tomei. Because in other words, if we don't consider it a shomer, maybe we should. Apparently, we're not even considering it a yad, which is a handle for the food. So you would think the person does not become tomei. Tamad loymer yitma. Therefore, the pasuk says he will become tomei. Now, the Gemara asks, my karma, what is the Braisa saying? First, it's saying that if a person touches skin that doesn't have a kezias and meat on it, then he doesn't become tummy, implying that the skin does not count towards the kezias, but then we're saying that he does become tummy. So the Gemara explains, that's what it's Omar Rava. So Rava says, V'amrilo kedi, or others say kedi, and we've learned previously a number of times that some say that kedi is the name of a chacham, others say that it means anonymous, or that all of the Chachamim said it together, whatever. Anyway, so the answer is fulfilling that. So the Braisa is missing a phrase. V'hachi katani, what it means is like this, the full rimud that the Braisa is telling us is, benivlosa, if a person touches the nevela of the animal, he becomes tamei, that means dafka the flesh of him. V'loi v'ursh, in other kezayis vasa, v'ur mashlimu le kezayis. That means not when there's skin, which has less than a kezayis of meat on it, even though this together with the skin, you have a full kezayis. So that from that we see, as we started to say, that the skin does not count as a shomer and does not count towards the kezayis. So now, yochol shani motzi ach osh yesh olav kezayis vaser. Now you would think then that we should also exclude, even when you have a kezayis of meat over there, of the nevela, attached to the skin, you would think that also anegeim etzat keneged bosom achod of yochol lo yeitamei. Now you would think if he touches the other side of the skin, where the meat is not attached, you would think he should not be tamei. Namely, we should say, like Rashi had just explained, that through the Maisi Yad Nami Le'ovid, we shouldn't even consider it to be a Yad, because that skin, you could argue the skin is a Shomer, it's not a Yad. So, and since we're saying as a Shomer, it doesn't count toward the Kazayas, then maybe we shouldn't count it like anything, and therefore the person touches it, it's not going to be Metame at all. Tamadlami Yitma. Therefore, no, the Pasuk says Yitma, then in a case like that, he is Tomei. So in other words, so in short, the skin of an Avela is not going to count towards the Kazayas. However, it will count as a Yad, it will count as a Yad. So therefore, so if a person touches it, then he will become Tomei just as if he touched the meat itself. Rashi actually uses the expression lahachnas or lahotzi to bring in tumah and to take out. I mean, here we're talking about an Avela, and lahachnas is not really relevant, but when it comes to regular foods, we can talk about that. So that's what the Braisa means. But the point is, we see, therefore, that a shomer, that this skin, even though it protects the meat, it's still not considered part of the kazayas, and you need a full kazayas of meat over there, of nevela, for the person to be tummy for touching or carrying it. Okay. So now let's talk more about this matter of yad and shomer. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Uktzin. Masechta Uktzin talks about these dinim of Yad and Shomer. It's a short Masechta. It's the last Masechta of Mishnayos in Shas. And the main subject of it is these topics of stems and peels of foods, when they become tummy together with the food, when not, and when they transmit tumor to other things, and when not, and when they combine together to make up a kazayas or a kabetza, and when not. So in fact, the next couple of blocks, we're going to be quoting a number of Mishnayos from that Masechta. In that sense, you could almost say, like, parts of this Perek are almost like a Gemara on that Masechta. Masechta Uktzin, like most of Seder Taras, does not have Gemara, but here you have, we're going to be quoting individual Mishnayos from it and analyzing them. So the Gemara says, Tznanachos, and we learn in a Mishnah, in the first Mishnah of Uktzin, Kolcho Yad V'lo Shomer, anything which is a yad, a handle for the food, but not a shomer. So say, for example, Rashi says, let's say you have a, let's say a bone. So let's say a bone that has no marrow in it, and at one end of it there's meat. So it's not shomer, it's not protecting the meat in any way, it's not protecting the marrow inside it, because there is no marrow, but it's a yad, it's a handle. You can pick up the meat by means of that bone. So it's a yad, but not a shomer. So then, tomei. So then it can become tomei in the sense that if a sheretz touches that bone, then the meat will also become tomei. So it's machnes, it brings in tumah, umetame, and it's metame of food, that now if that food is tomei, and now touches other food, then that other food will become tomei. Rabbi Gershon points out another thing as well. It also means that the handle will be metame the food. So in other words, it means, so Rabbi Negoshim, in other words, learns the other way around. Tome means it becomes tome together with the food, and metame means that it's metame the food itself. So Rambam explains similarly. Okay, the point is, in other words, so it accomplishes both. So it brings tumor into the food, and also it transmits tumor to the food, and also transmits tumor to other foods. The enim ekstarif, however, it does not combine together to make up the kabetza. Now continues the Mishnah. Shomer. Now, what about if you have something which is a? What about if you have something which is a shomer, something which protects the food? So even though it's not a yad, so Rashi gives an example of that. Would be like what you just talked about, the skin that has a kazayas of flesh on it. So it's a shomer, it protects the flesh, but it's not a yad in the sense you don't really use the skin to pick up that meat. So then, tome or metame umetzare. So then, it's able to become tome. It's able to be machnes. It brings in tumor. It's motzi. It transmits tumor to something else. If the meat on it was tome, then the skin also transmits tumor to something else. Umetzare, and it even combines together to make up the kazayas. So to make up the kazayas or the kabetza. Again, when we're talking about tumas oichlin over here, we're not talking about tumas nevelus. We're talking about tumas oichlin over here. So in fact, Rashi uses the expression skin that's attached to a kazayas of meat. And Marshall points out, a kazayas would be relevant only by nevela. By Thomas Oslin, what it is actually you need a kabeitza, not a kazayis. So that's the second case. And then, lo yad v'lo shomer. Then you have, for example, something which is neither a yad nor a shomer. So Rashi gives an example, a hair. So it sounds like Rashi is saying, if you have a hair, you're talking about a hair with a piece of flesh attached to it, on the side of it here, there's a gusa. That on the side over here, there's a gusa that actually adds, let's say, for example, you have a thin bone attached to it, which it can't be a yad, and it's not a shomer either. Later on, we're going to have in a couple of blocks, we're going to have actually a machlokas amaroyim about that, whether hair is considered a yad or a shomer. So there's an answer that what we mean over here is actually, Rashi doesn't mean hair of flesh from an animal. Rashi means, for example, the hairs, the fine hairs that you find on certain kinds of fruits. Those are neither a yad nor a shomer. You don't use that hair to pick up the fruit, and it's not a shomer. It doesn't really protect the fruit either. Anyway, so those kinds of things. The Mishnah says, loy tome, or loy metame, it doesn't become tome with the food, and it's not metame other food. There, it's not considered part of the food at all, because it's neither a yad nor a shomer. Okay? So the Gemara says, let's work this out. Yodis hechiksi. Where does it say anything in the Torah about yodis that they can transmit tumor or bring in tumor? So these are like this. Tefil, because the Pasuk says, again, in connection with food becoming tome, the expression in the pasuk is v'chiyutan mayim al zera. If water is placed on a seed, and as Chazal learn elsewhere, it means not just water; it means the other shiva mashkin. It doesn't just mean it's placed on the seed. The same thing would be if the seed or other food fell into it. Whatever. The pasuk continues v'nochum and ivlosim olav. If then an avela of an animal or a sheretz or whatever falls on the food after becoming wedded with one of the shiva mashkin, tomei hu lachem. It is tomei for you. So what's that word, lachem? So lachem means v'chol shebetzorcheichem. It includes everything that is necessary for this food, everything that is going to become tamei. So now the yad is something necessary for the food, because you need it in order to pick up and handle the food. So we see from that, so l'rabas, so therefore l'rabas sayyodis, so that comes to include the yodis. Now the pasuk also says in the next pasuk, the pasuk continues, if one of the animals that would otherwise have been mutter to eat dies, they are kosher animal that then died without shchita. And again, the pasuk uses the word lochem. So therefore, again, lochem l'chol shebetzorcheichem. Again, the word lochem comes to include over here anything that's necessary for your purposes. And again, l'rabas to say yodis, it also comes to include the yodis. So now, the first pasuk that we quoted is referring to the food becoming tamei. And we see that the word lochem means not only the food becomes tamei, but so does the yad. And the second pasuk is about the nevela, that it transmits tumor to something else through its yad. So therefore you have both things. And both limits as lachem. So therefore, yad, lachachnes, or lahotzi. So therefore we see from that that a yad exists both lachachnes, to bring in tumor, and also to bring out tumor, to transmit it to something else. So that's how we know as far as yodis. Now, we started talking about the shomer, and we said that a shomer is actually able to combine together with the food, because we learned before, akhozera zeirua, that like wheat kernels that come with their shells, and we said that counts. Now, the Gemara points out, shomer, lahachnas, or lahotzi, letzarif pra. Now, the fact that a shomer, that, for example, the peel of a fruit, or the skin attached to meat, or whatever, that's able to bring in tumor into the food and to transmit it from the food to something else, for that you don't even need a pasuk. Kavachomer, the miyad osi, because that you can learn a kavachomer from the yad. Now that we've established the pasuk is implying to us the concept of a yad, so now we can use that to derive a kavachomer to learn that a shomer is also machnis or moitzi, that it can transmit tumor in either direction. The kavachomer would be umay yad she'ena magina madach the yad, which is not protecting the food, umachneses, and yet it's able to umetzia, it's still able to bring tumor in and out in either direction. Shomer lo kol shekin, how much more so the shomer, which is more important for the food in the sense that it protects it. So you can learn, therefore, that the shomer, in fact, is machnas emotzi. Shomer, the kasa rahmana lamali. So why did we even have a pasuk implying to us about the shomer? namely the pasuk Afal Zera Zeruah that we brought at the bottom of the previous Amud, Shema Min Alav Saref, that must mean the only thing that's left is to teach us that it combines together to make up the shear of the food. So therefore, that's how we learn. So that brings us that results in the din that we learned from the Mishnah in Uktin, that when it's a shomer, that when it's a yad, it's not mitzvah. When it's a shomer, it is mitzvah. It does combine together to make up the shear. That's where we learn it from, because the fact that it's machnas or moitzi, we can learn from a kavah shomer from the yad, and therefore all we need the pasuk for is to tell us that it's mitzvah, that it combines together. Well, this actually points out that, again, we talked about yesterday, that there is a machloekus who showed him how much food do you need in one place to become tumah, to become tumah in the first place. The Rambam holds any minimum amount of food can become tumah. Just to transmit tumah to something else, you need a kibetza. On the other hand, Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam hold, and Rashi seems to hold also, that in fact, to become tumah as well, you need a kibetza in the first place. So then Tosfos says, well, how would we know? Maybe the pasuk is telling us that the shomer, maybe it's only telling us that it's only motzi, it only transmits the tumah to something else, but not necessarily in its machnas that it brings it in. And Tosfos says, because once we find that the yad is machnas to motzi and the shomer is machnas to motzi, then we're not going to start drawing a distinction as far as siruf, whether it's for the tumah coming in or out. We're going to say that it applies either way. So that's how we learn the dinim of yad and shomer. But the Gemara asks, the ema of yad lahachnas v'lo lahotzi, but maybe say that a yad is only able to bring in the tuma and not transmit it to something else, because again, where are we learning the concept of yad from? It's because we're saying, because the pasuk says, lochem, lochol shivat sarcheichem, fine, so maybe you could say, by the nevela, we're saying that you learn that a yad is motzi, fine, because a nevela is tumah chamura, because a nevela is a stronger kind of tumah. So maybe indeed a yad can only bring in tumah to the food, namely, for example, that if the, so let's say, for example, to use the example of a yad that Rashi used before, bone with some meat attached on one end of it, so you would say, fine, it's machnes, and the lochem teaches us that if a source of tumah, such as a dead sheretz or a nevela or what have you, touches the bone, then the meat is also going to become tumah. But maybe not lahotzi. Maybe it doesn't mean that if the meat attached to the bone itself became tumah, and now the bone touches something else, it should transmit tumah. You're going to say from nevela, nevela is tumah chamura. And then maybe you could say, as far as the shomer is only, maybe you could say the shomer is there in the pasuk lahotzi to tell you that a shomer is stronger than a yad in that sense that it can transmit tumah to something else. How do you know that it's not that? So the question is, shomer lahachnas, so the aim of yad lahachnas v'lo lahotzi, maybe say that the yad we learn from the pasuk is only able to bring in tumah. If tumah touches the yad, then the food attached to it will become tummy. V'lo lahotzi, not to transmit it to something else. Shomer lahachnas v'lo lahotzi, and you're going to say a shomer is stronger, because again, fine, logically a shomer is stronger than a yad, and therefore it brings tumah in either direction to the food or from the food to something else. Our yad lahotzi, but to say that a yad should be able to bring out tumah to something else, the shomer l'tzaref, and that a shomer should actually be able to combine together to make up the kadeitza, loy, maybe not. How do we know? How do we have a source for that? And the answer is lahachnas v'lehotzi lematzis amr. You can't say that yad lahachnas v'lehotzi lematzis amr. You can't say that a yad is not going to be. You can't say that a yad is going to be only machnas and not motzi. You can't say that logically. Hashda ayuli ma'ayla. If it's even able to bring in the tumah to something which was not yet tumah, hooking in goya, would you need to say that it's able to transmit tumah to something else where this food is already tumah? So obviously, if the Torah is telling us lochem, and from that we learn the concept of a yad, there's no question it has to be both lahachnes or lahotzi. The pasuk is definitely telling us that it's able to be machnes, and to be motzi would be an obvious kavachomer that it could do that as well. Because the food is already tumah, so it's logical that the yad attached to it is also going to be able to transmit tumah to something else. So now, if we have a separate pasuk for shomer, so now, again, we can learn a kavachomer, that's machnas or motzi, from a yad, we can learn that by kavachomer, and the only thing that's left is for a shomer is to teach us the concept of lotzaref, that it actually combines together. The Gemara says, v'ema, yad lahotzi v'lo lahachnas. Fine, but maybe you could say the other way around. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that the yad is only able to transmit tumor to something else, not to bring tumor to the food that it's attached to. So then you would say, and the result would be shomer lahotzio lahachmes. So fine, you would say a yad can only bring out tumor to something else. A shomer is also able to bring it in to what's protected within the shomer. Avo yad lahachmes for shomer l'tzaras loy. But again, you could say that a yad should be able to bring in the tumor, or that a shomer should be able to combine together with the food to make up the kabeza. Not necessarily. So where do you know that a yad automatically is lahachmes or lahotzi, such that now you can say a shomer is the next level up and it's even l'tzaras? And the answer is Yad Seder. See, the answer is because the Torah says another pasuk, another extra pasuk that also tells us about a Yad. Namely, the pasuk tells us a couple of pasukim earlier that if a nevela touches a keli, and it mentions Tanu l'chirayim yutatz v'gomer. It says that if a nevela or a sheretz or whatever falls onto an earthenware oven. Tanur is an oven, kiraim is a stove, both of them are made out of earthenware, and we know that earthenware is able to become tameh and can never become tahor. You can't dip in a mikveh, you can't sprinkle with paradrum or water, you can't anything. So the pasuk is tanur chirayim yutatz, an oven or a stove made out of earthenware would have to be broken if it becomes tameh. And the pasuk also continues lachem at the end. Tmeim heim, which may you lachem. The pasuk says. So you have another lachem. Lachem b'chol shabatzarcheichem. So again, the word lachem comes to include whatever you need. L'rabas esayyodes. So therefore, it comes to include also the handle of the oven. So the handle of the oven is also machnes emotzi. So fine. You want to argue the pasuk about food is telling you only lahotzi, but fine. You have another pasuk about the oven, and from there you can see lahachnes as well. There is a bit of a discussion about that, because we've learned earlier in the Masechta, and we have throughout Chas, that clay cheres, udenware kelim, cannot become tomei from tumah touching them on the outside, only if the tumah touches them or is in their airspace on the inside. So why should the yad transmit tumah to the oven? So Tosfos earlier in the Masechta explains that, in fact, you're right, by the oven it doesn't mean lahachmes to make the oven tomei, it means lahotzi if the oven is tomei, and you have a handle sticking out of the oven. If that handle now touches food, then it's going to be metamei. On the other hand, the Rashba and the Ram say that no, there's a cost of that the handle will be able to transmit tumah to it, even though the outside of the keli cannot. The Ramban gives another answer that we could be talking about a hollow handle. So therefore, so it's hollow, it's able to be mekabel tumah, and it actually became tumah from the inner space of it. And now we're saying that now automatically the keli will become tumah, even though the tumah was not inside the air space of the oven itself. In any case, the point is, so we have so far three different places where the pasuk says lochem, and therefore includes yodos. So we have by zroyin, by seeds, we have by nevela, and we have by an oven. By each of them it says lochem, and from each and therefore we can learn the concept of yodos. But now we're saying there's an extra one, and that extra one allows us to learn the concept that it's not only moitzi, not only does it bring out the tumah and transmit it to something else, but it's also machnes that's able to bring in the tumah and cause the item to which the yad is attached to become tumah. So we're saying we learn that from an extra yad. Well, the question is, hey, minayimi yater, which one of them is extra that we're saying that we can learn that drasha from? Don't we need each of them for itself, because we can't derive one from the other, as the Gemara is going to explain. So which one is extra? Should we say lichter rachmana bezroyim b'leisu hanach minayu? Should we say the Torah could have only mentioned the concept of yad when it comes to food, when it comes to seeds, and we would learn the other ones from it, and then we would learn the other ones from it by a binyan av? Or Marsha asks on Rashi why binyan av? We could say it's a kavah chomer. But can we say that we would learn it only from food? Can't. Malazroim shekain tumas and meruba. You could argue that food has a greater capacity for tumah in the sense that it's able to become tumah even from a vlada tumah. When it comes to the dinner of tumah v'tara, we draw a distinction between an abba tumah, which is able to metame anything, including people and kalin, and foods and drinks, versus the vlada tumah, rishon l'tumah, sheni, etc., which are able to metame, daraisa anyway, only other food and drinks. Now, so therefore, food has a greater capacity for tuma. It's able to become tuma from a vlada tuma as well, as opposed to an oven. An oven is only mekabel tuma from an ava tuma. And a nevela, we said that, and as far as a nevela, well, we said in the Mishnah that we see that the pasuk is telling us that there's a greater capacity for tuma by tumas oichlin than tumas nevelas. Because we said in the Mishnah that, for example, when it comes to being the tzaref, when it comes to a shomer combining together to make up the required volume, that will only apply to food. That won't apply to the tumor of an avela. So therefore, you can't say that we should say yad by zroyim, and we would learn all the other ones from it, because that has a chumra compared to the other ones. Should we say that the Torah should have said the concept of a yad by the oven, and we would have learned all the other ones from it? That doesn't work either. Malatano shaken the tanu me'aviroi. An oven has a unique chumra compared to the other ones, that it's able to become tamei even from it's able to be metamei things even in its airspace. Even if they don't touch it, they can become tamei as long as they're inside its airspace. As opposed to tamei food or nevela is going to be metamei something else only if they actually touch it. Should we say the Torah should have written the concept of a yad by nevela, and we would learn the other ones from it? Doesn't work either. Mala nevela, shekem matama adam, or matama b'masa. First of all, a nevela is matama a person, whereas the other things that we mentioned, food and an oven, are not matama a person. Or matama, the food itself will be a rishon l'truma, or a sheni l'truma, or whatever, and the daraisa is not matame a person. The oven as well, the oven is, having touched a sheretz or whatever, the oven becomes a rishon l'truma. A rishon is not able to, a rishon is in the general category of vlada truma, and it can't be matame people. Or matame b'masa, a nevela also is matame a person who carries it, even if he doesn't touch it, which is unique to that. A person carries a tomei oven or tomei food is not going to become tomei. The tumah yotze migufa, and the tumah comes out of it itself, as opposed to the food and the oven became tomei from something else. So you can't say that it should say yad by nevela, and we should learn from it to all the other ones. So each one of them has a chumra over the other, and therefore Rashi says we would try to learn a binyan ab and say ma matzinu, just like we find by this that we have a yad. So also we can find by the other ones, but we can't because each one has a unique chumra compared to the other ones. So the Gemara says, fine, chodeh mechodeh le'asya. Very well then, we can't learn from this that we're saying, by the way, we're saying a pircha on each one of these. Rashi points out that with an oven they can become tomei without even touching it. But as opposed to by nevela and food where it actually has to touch it. Rashi says this is an example of a, this is an example, Rashi says of a, excuse me, this is an example of a weak kind of pircha. It's not really a strong pircha. But Rashi says, nevertheless, we learned at the end of the previous parak that when it comes to a mahatzad, when we're trying to do it, that'll be a little later, actually. So wait. So fine. The Gemara says, chodeh mechodeh le'asya. Very well. Then you can't learn one from one. There's no one of these three things that you can learn the concept of yad from it to the other ones. But Kesef chodeh mekarki. But maybe we can learn a tzadah shoveh between the two of them. And then we can say there's one extra, and then we can use that one extra to say that a yad is able to bring in tuma into the thing that it's attached to, which is what we were out to prove in the first place. Okay, well, the Gemara says, hey, Tasey, which one do you want to derive from the other two? Do you want to say the Torah shouldn't have had to say yad by food, and we would learn it from a tzadah shoveh between nevela and an oven? And you could say, after all, that again, each one of those individually has a chumrah, but nevertheless, each one doesn't have the chumrah of the other. And nevertheless, you're going to say that an oven is mitami things even without touching them. You're going to say nevela is mitami things only by touching them. You're going to say nevela is mitami a person and has all those other chumras that we said before. And we would say an oven, on the other hand, is not mitami a person, and still the yad is able to transmit tumah to other things, and we'd have a tzadah shava. The problem is malahana shekain metamin shalai behechshav. The problem with that is that an oven or a nevela, you don't need hechshav. You don't need them to be wetted with one of the seven liquids to be able to transmit tumah. Tumah bezroyim. How do you compare that to seeds, to food? Shein metamin ala behechshav. For them to become tumah, they have to have been wedded with one of the shiva mashkim. So therefore, you could argue that you can't learn it from a tzadah shava from them. However, the Gemara says that's not really a valid counter argument. You know what? When you have food that was not mukshel of tabel tumah, then that's the equivalent of an oven that has not yet been finished being made. An oven that's still in the process of being made is not makabel tumah either. So therefore, you can't say they don't need hechsher mashda. Fine, the vela and an oven don't need hechsher, it's true, but they do need, but at least with an oven, it does need to be completed, the work of it has to be finished, for food to become tummy, for food to become wedded with one of the shiva mashkim, in effect is what makes it food. So that's not a serious pirfa. So rather, ela parichachim. Rather, the way we could argue the contrary argument would be as follows: malahanach shekem metamin shalom minagia, where both of those are able to become tamei without touching, because the sheretz not are able to become tamei without touching. Namely, an oven, again, the truma doesn't need to touch the oven to make a tamei, as long as the truma, the dead sheretz or whatever, is in the airspace of the oven. Even if, for example, it's hanging on a string and not touching the oven at all, it becomes tamei. And the nevela doesn't become tamei by something else, like we said before. Nevela is intrinsically tamei. Toma bezroyim shein metamin ela benegia. How do you compare that to food, which becomes tamei only by touching? Now, here's where Rashi says that this is not really a strong pircha. This is really just a very weak kind. This is a pircha, what we called in the previous perek, a pircha kol derhu, just a minor pircha, but nevertheless, as we learned in the previous perek, when you're doing it, when you're trying to do it, tzadah shavah, any kind of pircha will break it up. Actually, Marsha wonders why. I mean, this should be considered a strong chumrah. This is a real solid pircha. So there's an explanation that, after all, food can conceivably become tamei without touching either. Namely, for example, if it's tumas oil, you have cases. For example, let's say you have an oil, you have a mess inside a building, then all the food over there is going to become tamei as well. The question really is that this is a pirush called Haras Shah explains that since the pasuk is actually talking about touching the nacham and nivlas ha'olad, so now the question is then that the pasuk is specifically talking about touching, whereas with a nevela and an oven, it doesn't need to touch at all. So therefore, Rashi is saying it's not really a strong pircha. The fact is, food does become tamei, touching or not, and this Gemara is asking based on the Lashon HaPasuk. So you can say that you can't learn the concept of a yad by food from the other tree. Okay, the Gemara says, Loi lichtu rachmana b'tanu v'teisim ha'anach. You want to say that the Torah shouldn't have said a yad by an oven, and we can learn it by a tzadah shava between food and neveva. Doesn't work either. Malahanach shekein oichel. The fact is, the other two things are food. A nevela, a person could conceivably eat. A goy, for example, is allowed to eat a nevela, whereas an oven is not edible. And again, you could argue that maybe that's not a very strong pircha, but again, you know, a pircha kol derhu will work. You want to argue that the Torah shouldn't have said a yad by nevela, and we can derive it from a tzadah shava between the other two. No. So that the Gemara says, Einokinami. So that indeed you could have done. The Torah could have told us by an oven and by food the concept of yad, and we would in fact have learned the fact that it applies also to a nevela. We would have learned from that. The words Einokinami Ella are in parenthesis over here, and then Maushal actually takes them out. In any case, the Gemara says yad the nevela lomali. So why indeed does the Torah tell us that the concept of a yad by nevela? We have to say in the yad nevela, given that it's not needed to tell us about the concept of a yad of nevela itself, because we don't really need it. Again, we can learn it from a tzadah shava between the other two, and yet the Torah writes it tineu inan the yad da alma. Then instead, we can apply it to say that in general we have a concept of a yad when it comes to food. That as far as tumah, and So therefore, so we can use it to learn about a yad in general, and therefore yad lahachnas, yad lahotzi, shomer l'tzaref, and therefore that results in the din that we said before, that a yad can both transmit, bring truma into the food, and transmit it from that food to something else, and a shomer is on top of that, and can even be mitzaref, can even combine together to make up the kibetza of food. Now, so Rashi explains, in other words, you don't need it for hotzah, because again, by food and an oven, we already have hotzah. We already have the concept that once the food becomes tamei or the oven becomes tamei, then the handle can now transmit tumah to something else. Therefore, it must be lahachnasa, it must be to teach us that the yad can bring tumah into the food, and there we go, there's our yad lahachnasa b'hotzi, and the shomer, then given that the shomer itself, as we said before, we could have learned by a kavach shomer from yad, and yet the Torah writes shomer, then that means it adds an additional detail that the shomer is mitzaref. Okay, the Gemara says va'akati yad nevela itzrich. Still, you could argue the Torah didn't need to write the word yad, didn't need to write the concept of yad by a nevela. Geila kasu rachmanim b'nevela, because if the Torah had not written it by nevela, and you're only going to learn it from a tzad hashava between an oven and seeds, have amina, then you could argue daya labomin adin lis kinoven. You know what? When you have a kavachomer, we have a sub rule of a kavachomer that says the thing that you're learning to cannot be stronger than the thing that you're learning from. Daya, it's enough labomin adin for something that you're learning from a kavachomer lis kinoven, that it should be like the thing that you're learning from. So the most you could say, in other words, is that the yad of a nevela is going to be no stronger than the yad of food or an oven. Now those things are not going to be matame a person, because of, again, if a person touches food, then he's not then midaraisa, he's not going to become tame. A person touches a tame oven, he's not going to become tame. Af nevela loy matama odam. The same way you could argue that a nevela would not be matame a person through a yad. So you could argue that Rashi gives an example. Let's say a person were to stick a piece. Let's say, for example, a person were to stick a toothpick into a kazayas in nevela. So now he made a yad over here. Now if a person touches that toothpick, he wouldn't become tame unless he touches the nevela itself. You would think that not. And the same thing also the bone of the nevela itself, Rashi points out, would also be a yad. So you would think, if you're going to learn from a tzad hashava, then you're going to say, fine, if a person touches the nevela itself, is he going to become tamei, but not if he touches its yad. So therefore, we do need the yad by the nevela to teach us that concept. So fine, Gemara says you're right. Ela yad de nevela mitzvah tzarech. Fine. The fact that it says yad by a nevela is in fact necessary. Shomer to nevela hu d'lo tzarech. Now what it is when we learned before, we said, how do we know that at the top of the omelet, we said that when you have a kezias of meat attached to the skin when you have a kezias of nevela meat attached to its skin, then we said if a person touches the skin, you would think he doesn't become tomei. And nevertheless, the Torah says yitma, that and the skin is a shomer. That's really what's not necessary. Shomer de nevela who delights on it. That's really what's unnecessary, and therefore we can learn from it. Delamai hilchah kasvei achmana, because why would the Torah have written it? Either it's to Rufio, you're going to tell us that the shomer of nevela does count towards the kazayas. We said before not. Amrit loymet sadaf. We said before that we learned from the words benivlosa that it doesn't combine. Lahotzi. You're going to say that the shomer of a nevela is able to bring tumma to something else. That again, that if you touch the skin of the nevela on the other side of the on the other side of the meat, that a person should become tamei. Kavachomer miyado. See that you can learn from a, you don't need that. That you can learn from a kavachomer from the yad, and therefore you would know that. So the fact that the Torah writes anything about the shomer, that's what's really unnecessary, and therefore that's what we can use for a limud for something else. In other words, Tosfos on the previous Omer explains that like this, we could say that you could have argued that maybe we should learn that a shomer does count, but you would think maybe because of the word yitma, maybe because of the word yitma means that actually it not only transmits truma, but even in its status. But now, in effect, the Gemara is saying basically that it didn't need to say beneath losa, from which we exclude the skin, and it didn't need to say yitma either. And we would have known the concept of a shomer by a nevela from a kavachomer. So you don't need it to be mitzaref, because in fact it's not mitzaref. You don't need it to be motzi, because that you can learn from a kavachomer. Machnis, we're not even talking about, because machnis by a nevela is irrelevant. It's already talmid. Ella, so now we can say in any inyan, the shomer de neveva, given that we don't need the word yitma really to teach us about the shomer of a neveva, about the skin of a neveva, that it transmits tumah to something else, because we can already learn that from that Sada Shoga, to now inyan, the yad de neveva, instead apply it to not to a shomer, but rather to a yad. That can transmit tumah to something else. In the yad the nevela, and really you don't need it for yad of nevela at all, because that we already had the word lachem by the nevela. Tenei in the yad da alma, then you can apply it to a yad in general, and say that. And therefore, so now the pasuk is teaching us this concept that a yad is able to transmit tumah to something else. Rashi explains why we're doing this in two stages of this. Why don't we just say it's not needed for a shomer nevela, that it's used for a yad of something else? Because Rashi explains, given that we have this extra thing of a shomer by a nevela, so it's more logical to say that should apply to something else of nevela. But then we're saying that we're reusing it from shomer to yad. So then we're going to say we don't really need it for a yad of nevela either. Therefore, we're going to use it for a yad of something else. You can't really say because it's not used for a shomer nevela, therefore should be used for a yad of something else in one stage like that. Rashi says it really wouldn't work. In any case, that's how we do. So we can see, since we have the extra pasuk about a shomer by a nevela, and we don't need it, so therefore now we can use it. Now we can repurpose it and use it for a yad of something. First, we can use it for a yad of nevela, and then for a yad of something else. Therefore, that results in the din that we've been saying all along: yad lahotzi, yad lahachnis. A yad is able to bring out and transmit tumah to something else. A yad is also able to transmit tumah to the food to which it's attached. And shomer, and a shomer is on top of that, Latsarif is able to combine together to make up the kibetzer. So that's how we learn from the extra psukim that we have over here. But the Gemara asked, if you're anyway going to do imena inyan, if you're anyway going to say that you're going to say if this pasuk is unnecessary for this purpose, then we're going to repurpose it for another pasuk. So for Ema, maybe rather you should say differently. Im ene inim, the shomer de nevela, given that you don't need the pasuk yitma to tell us about the shomer of a nevela, because as we said, the fact that the shomer is bringing tumah from the nevela to something else, that we said we can learn from a kavach shomer, from the fact that a yad does, well maybe we could say, tineu inim, the shomer da'alma. Maybe you should say, you should apply it to a shomer of any other place, of any other case of tumah v'tahara. So you would say, shomer lahachnas, or shomer l'tzaris. So you would say, fine, a shomer is able to bring in tumah to the food that it's protecting, and it's able to combine together to make up the kibetza, but how would we know that a yad is able to bring in tumah? So you're telling me that you're going to use this extra pasuk by nevela about shomer, and you're going to have to learn from it that a yad is able to bring in tumah, but maybe not. You're using it for something else. Maybe there's something else as a shomer, and it teaches us a din about a shomer, but not a din about a yad. So the Gemara says fine. Elos are fine. So the answer is that no. So the answer is going to be like this. When we ask to begin with, we said maybe to begin with, when the Torah tells us about a yad, when it comes to food, maybe it means lahotzi and not lahachnis. First we said that once we know lahachnis, then automatically lahotzi, because if it's able to even bring in tumah, how much more so it's able to transmit tumah from something which is already tumah. But then we asked on Amar Aleph, how do we know? Maybe to begin with, maybe a yad is only lahotzi and not lahachnis. Only to transmit tumah to something else, not to bring in tumah into the food. No, the Gemara says elam ikra. No, because to begin with, where does the pasuk say about a yad when it comes to food? When it says it to begin with in connection with bringing tumah into the food. Because the Torah is talking about when a sheretz falls on food and then it becomes tumah, and from the word lochet, we're learning the yad. So, as we said before, if it's able to even bring in tumah to the food, which is not yet tumah, then how much more so it can transmit tumah once that food is tumah, then it can transmit it to something else. So don't tell me that we need a pasuk from Nevela to teach us about a yad, to teach us that a yad is able to be motzi. We already know that by a kavachomer once it's able to be machnas. Okay. Torres just points out an interesting point over here, that all these three things we're talking about so far, seeds, an oven, and an avela, none of them can be dipped in a mikveh. Now, what about, we have a concept of yodos, we have a concept of handles, when it comes to kelim as well. In general, if a keli, if a keli's handle touches someone, then the whole keli becomes tame, and vice versa. So Torres just says, Torres just brings a different limud from Torres Koinim for that. So we were objecting before. We said, how do we know that a yad in Torah is to be machnas? Maybe it's only to be motzi, and then we have to scramble around to try to find a source where it's machnas. But no, as a matter of fact, to begin with, when the Torah is talking about it, it's to be machnas to make it the food to which that yad is attached becomes tame, and lahotzi we can learn by a kavachon. Okay, so the Gemara says ela shemer dinavela lamali. So why indeed? So now that we're saying that a yad and a shomer are able to bring tumah in either direction, lahachnas or lahotzi, so ela shomer nevela lamalis. Why indeed do we need the shomer by nevela? Legufe, it must be to teach us something about the nevela itself. Olamai, and again, as far as what? Ilis sturufi, do you mean that it's going to combine together to make up the kazayas of the nevela? No, amit loimit sadak, we said at the top of the previous omud, that it doesn't combine. Are you going to say that it's able to, that's to bring in Tumah or out? Okay, we're talking about a Nevela over here. To bring in Tumah is not really relevant. It would mean a Shomer of other things, as Mahashal points out. So if you're going to say Lahachnas or Lahotzi, again, Kavachomer, Miyad Asya, that we learned by Kavachomer from the Yad. So why would the Torah need to tell us by the Nevela? The Shomer. Before we thought that we needed that since we didn't need it to tell us about the Nevela itself, and in the end it tells us that the Yad is not only Machnas but also Motzi. But now we're saying you don't need that. Machnas, it actually says clearly in the Pasuk, and Motzi we're learning from a Kavachomer. So now we're back to the question, why do we need the Shomer by Nevela at all? And the answer is fine. Milsa v'asa v'kavachoymer, Torah for cause of lakra. Sometimes you have something which the Torah could have derived by a kavachoymer, but nevertheless the Torah takes the trouble to write it out anyway. So therefore, so we're not necessarily learning anything extra from that. So the Gemara says, Yehochi shomer d'alma. Well, then in general, when you talk about a shomer, we said you're learning from the words asher yizareya in the pasuk. We said because you take out a wheat kernel to plant with the shells still on it, and we said that a shomer combines together. Maybe the same thing. Emelach lahachnis. Maybe you could say the pasuk is only telling you that a shomer is able to transmit tumah to the food, and also knows that asher b'kavachomer torah for kosa lakra. You could learn that by kavachomer. Fine, you would say that the torah takes the trouble to write it out anyway. And the answer is no. Hey, for the ikkar midrash darshinan, where we're able to darshan something, then we prefer to do that. We prefer not to say that the Torah is writing something that we could have learned by a kavachomer. We rather prefer to say that the Torah is writing it out to teach us something. Only when we're left with nothing else, like we had before by the shomer of nevela, then we have no choice but to say the Torah is writing it, even though it's unnecessary. Okay, that's one answer. Reb Chaviva Omar, Reb Chaviva gives a different answer. Reb Chaviva is going to answer. In fact, we're going to say, like we said before, it doesn't need to say shomer by nevela, and instead we're using it for yad. We're going to say maybe use it for a shomer for something else, and then maybe say that a yad is not machnas. No, shiny shomer de nevela, says Reb Chaviva. The difference is when it comes to a shomer, when it comes to the skin of a nevela, to kim into maisi yod ka'ovid. As a matter of fact, it's not really functioning as a shomer. It's more functioning as a yad, because again, given that when it comes to food, we're saying a shomer does three things: machnas, motzi, and mitzaref. But we said by nevela, a shomer is not mitzaref. It's not combining together to make up the volume that would be mitame something else anyway. So therefore, in effect, the shomer by nevela is downgraded to a yad. In effect, it's functioning as a yad. A yad should be in like. Therefore, it's more logical to say that the pasuk that tells us that the shomer has a certain status by nevela is going to tell us the concept of yad by something else, because really this shomer, even though nominally it's a shomer because it protects the food, in reality it's functioning more as a yad, because like a yad it's not mitzaref. So now Rashi says, now we can summarize and say everything that we had so far we need all the cases where the Torah tells us about a yad. By seeds, by a nevela, and by an oven. We need, by each one of them, to tell us that it will transmit tumor to something else, because like we said on Amar Aleph, we can't learn one from the other. The fact about, two out of the three was that. Nevela, we said we could have learned by a Sada Shava from the other two, but that was to tell us on Amar Aleph, as we said, that we don't say Daya or Lavam and Adin, Lias Kenodin. We shouldn't think that maybe the Yad of the Nevela is not Matame people, just like the Yad of an oven or food is not Matame people. The fact that it says Shoma by a Nevela teaches us about the Yad, teaches us that a Yad is able to bring in Shoma. Because again, the shomer of an avela is in effect like a yad, and the shomer of other foods teaches us that not only is it machnas or moitzi, not only does it bring in and out tumah, but it's also mitzaref, it also combines together to make up the volume of food. So now we've covered all our bases, and we've demonstrated how we know all the dinim that we said so far. So in short, to recap, When it comes to food, you have the difference between yad and shomer. Yad being a handle of the food, so that we said is machnes u'moitzi. It brings if a source of tumah touches the yad, then the food attached to it becomes tameh. Vice versa, if the food became tameh, then and the yad of it touches something else, then that something that touches some other food, that other food will become tameh. When you have a shomer, such as a peel of the food, then it's even more so. It's even mitzana if it combines together to make up the kabeitza as far as becoming tameh or transmitting tumah to others. That's as far as food. That's as far as tumas oichlin. When it comes to an oven, there's nothing to talk about as far as a shear. But you have the handle is machnes u'moitzi. The handle will bring tumah into the oven or transmit tumah from the oven to something else. And when it comes to a nevela, the yad will, both yad and shomer are the same kind of thing. They'll transmit tumah outward from the nevela. The nevela itself, or its yad, or its shomer, touches something else. Something else will become tumah, but the shomer will not combine together to make up the kazayis of the nevela. Now, we learned before, we said at the beginning that Tanit Rav Yishmael had said, how do we know the concept of a shomer by food? So we said because the pasuk implies that, for example, the way that you take wheat grains out to plant with the shells still attached. So the Gemara says, Maski thought of Yehuda by Yishmael. So Yehuda by Yishmael points out a contradiction to that. We learn in the Mishnah later on, Masechta Uchtin, a pitma shorima in mitzarefes, the pitma, the thing that sticks out on top of the piece that sticks out on top of a pomegranate, that combines together and makes up the kabeitza for tumas oichlin, because it's the shomer. But on the other hand, the nates, the little hairs that grow over there within that, that's another shomer, and that's not mitzaref, that doesn't combine together. We have a rule, we're going to learn later on in the parak, that only the bottom layer of shomer combines together, but not the top one. Rashi gives an example. For example, as far as nuts, you have various kinds of nuts where you have two layers. You have an inner peel over the nut meat, and then you have an outer shell over that. The outer shell will not be mitzaref because it's considered a shomer on top of a shomer. The same thing over here with the pomegranate. The pitma, the crown over there, will be mitzaref, but the hairs within it, the nates, will not, because that's a shomer on top of a shomer. Now the question is, Ramai, why should even the crown combine? Ik korikan, why don't we apply over here the pasuk alkol zera zilua, that it has to be a seed like the way it's planted. Veleka, and you don't do that because nobody plants a pomegranate, nobody plants a whole pomegranate. You can plant individual pomegranate seeds. By trees, you don't even usually plant seeds. You usually take a branch of one tree and you replant that branch, and it starts growing into a new tree. It develops roots and grows into a new tree. So if you're going to plant a whole pomegranate, then that pitma already falls off because it's like a flower. So why should it combine? The two, and furthermore, Hodetnan, what about we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'ur, the skin of an animal, Bahroitev, and the gravy, Bakifa, and the spices, Bahula, and we had a whole list of things over there that we said that combined together with it. Well, why should Mitzaref, who said they combined together, for Tumatama Tumasothan, Minolan, where do we know that from? You can't say Asher Yizareya, you don't plant meat. So where do we have any source that the skin or the roitev, etc., should plant? So the Gemara says, fine, Elatlosatroyksiv. Fine, but there were three relevant psukim. Well, not three relevant psukim, but three words in the pasuk that are relevant. The pasuk says, Al kol zera zeruah asher yizareya. So three times in the pasuk it mentions the word, that it mentions the shoresh zera, seed, alpha zera, seed, zerua, which is to be planted, zerua, that is plantable, asher yizareya, that is planting. So therefore, chav l'shomer d'zroyim. So one of them teaches us about the shomer of seeds, for example, the shells over a wheat grain. The chav l'shomer d'yonis. One teaches us about the shomer of tree fruits, for example, this crown on top of the pomegranate. That also counts, even though it's screw, you don't plant pomegranates like that. The idach, and the third one, the shomer shabaser, the shomer baser. The third one teaches us about the shomer. The third one tells us about the tremor of things that don't grow from the ground, meat and eggs and fish, where all of them, the skin attached to meat, the shell, the egg shells, the scales of fish, all of those are also going to count. All of those are considered a tremor as well, and that we learn from the fact that Tertus says three times in that cosmic the word zera. So now let's continue on this matter of yad. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Chiya Ashi Amar Rab, Yesh Yad LaTumah VeEin Yad LaHechsher." When we talk about this whole matter of yad, as far as Tumah V'Tara, that's only as far as Lahotziu LaHechnis. Like we said before, if yad becomes tumah, then the food attached to it becomes tumah, and vice versa. But Rabbi Chiya Ashi says, in the name of Rab, VeEin Yad LaHechsher. However, the yad is not effective as far as makshir, as far as being makshir LaKabel Tumah, namely. So if you have, let's say, so if you have a yad, let's say, for example, you have a stalk of wheat, where the stalk itself is the yad, and the wheat grains at the end of it are the food. So now, if the stalk were to become wet with one of the shiva mashkim, then Rab is telling us the grains of wheat are not moksha l'kabel tumah. Rabbi Yechon says, yes, yad l'tumah or l'hechsher. No, in fact, the yad will be effective both as far as tumah and as far as hechsher. So according to the Yechonim, yes, if one of the Shiva Mashkim falls on the stalk, then in fact the food is now susceptible to become Tomei. Now, when it comes to a Shomer, the Ram points out, everybody agrees that a Shomer will be effective as far as Hechsher as well. So if water or whatever falls on the Shomer, then definitely the food is Mokshu L'Kabel Tumah. But here we're talking about as far as the stem or the stalk or whatever, so that's a Rav and Rabbi Yechonim are. So the Gemara says, my commitment, well, what's the underlying machlokas? The Gemara says, Ibois yam a svara, Ibois yam a kra. You could say they're arguing on a svara, or you could say they're arguing on how to doubt in a pasuk. Ibois yam a kra, one way of looking at it is you could say that they're arguing on the meaning of the pasuk. When the pasuk says, again, the pasuk says, the chiyutan mayim al zera, the pasuk says that if water falls on a seed, and then a nevela or whatever falls on that seed, then it becomes tamei, mar sover. So now, Rav holds, mikra nidrish lefana velo lefnei fana. We can douch in a pasuk, only with reference to the pasuk before it, but not, or what it says right before it in the same pasuk, velo lefnei fana, but not what it says earlier in the same pasuk. Namely, in other words, how does the pasuk go? Chiyutan mi malzera. If water falls on a seed, the nafam nivlasam alav, and an avela falls on it, tomei hu lachem, then it is tomei for you. And we said before, lachem teaches us the concept of yad. So now, Rav holds the tomei hu lachem is going to refer back only to the nafam nivlasam alav. Very well then, the Torah is telling us if the nevela falls on the yad, then the food will become tomei. But to say that if the water falls on the yad, that the food should be susceptible to tumah, that's further back in the pasuk. Rav says you can't learn like that. Whereas Rabbi Yechonon would hold that you can douch in not only the previous segment of the pasuk, but even the beginning of it. So therefore, Rabbi Yechonon will say, the lochem at the end of the pasuk that teaches us the yam is going to refer back to both parts, both to the chiyutan mayim and the nochem and yivlosam. So in both cases, both the hechsher and the tumah, both of them, the yam is considered fully a part of the food. So that's one way of looking at the machlekas. Another way you could look at it, svara, you could say they're arguing on a svara. Mar sava, hechsher, tchilas tumahu, Rabbi Yechonon holds that hechsher is considered the beginning of tumah. It's the first stage of becoming tumah. Well, then if we have a yad is able to make the food tumah, then logically the yad should also be able to make the food susceptible to become tumah. Omar Sava, whereas Rav holds Heksha Latskilas Tumahu, no, the Heksha is not the beginning of Tumah. It's true, it's a necessary prerequisite for it to become Tumah, but the fact is it itself is not Tumah yet. It's only making it susceptible to Tumah. So therefore, Rav says that Yad is not going to be able to participate in that, to making it susceptible to Tumah. The Teferes Yaakov explains basically that the Gilkanon looks at it, but look, Sheretz by itself is not enough. You need a Hechsher, the Kabbal Tumah first, and the water also not. You need the two things, so therefore you need two things, the liquid and the Tumah. Each of them combined together make up the Tumah, so therefore the water, the liquid can be considered the beginning of the Tumah. Whereas Rav holds that, look, you sometimes have a sheretz can be metame things that are not food at all, as we learned before, but a sheretz being metame an oven, for example. So therefore, with CBC, it's mainly that the Tumah can be attributed to the sheretz, and just be saying you need a prerequisite, as we said before, the food is not considered completely processed until it became wet. So therefore, you see, you can't really call that Rav is not going to call the wedding of the Tchilas Tumah, the beginning of the Tumah, such to say that we should learn from the Pasuk that the Yad participates in that. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Tanya Kabasei de Rabbi Yechanan. We learn a Braisa, like Rabbi Yechanan. Kashem sheyesh Yad b'Tumah, kach yesh Yad b'Hechshev. The same way as Yad works as far as Tumah, so it works as far as Hechshev. So in other words, yes, if one of the Shiva Mashkim falls on the stem or the stalk, then the food is also now, even though it was never touched by the water, is still now susceptible to Tumah. And the Braisa continues, Kashem she'en makablan Tumah, elav shri tolshu. Now the same way as food, as seeds, are not makabal Tumah until they're detached from the ground, and it has to be, because after all, otherwise, Rashi points out that if you're going to say that food can become tummy when it's attached from the ground, then everything is going to be tummy, because inevitably you're going to have shrutzim running around the food, and of course it becomes wet all the time when it's wetted by the rains or by irrigation. So therefore, necessarily food becomes tummy only when it's detached from the ground. Well, then, kake and the kabbal hechsher, el adshi toshu, the same way, so we mukshu, the kabbal tumah, will only work only after they're detached from the ground. So when they're attached to the ground, then the fact that they become wet doesn't matter. So we see that Braisa is comparing hechsher, the kabbal tumah, and tumah, and we see that both of them are the same kind of thing. And therefore that supports what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, that in fact, hechsher, the kabbal tumah will apply equally well to the yad. Tosfos actually brings up a point that when it comes to why we're saying just like with Tumah, so it is by Hechsher, but you could argue, so Tosfos says, let's say, for example, you could have that, imagine you have a tree full of fruit that was detached from the ground and was Mokshav HaKabal Tumah, and then you replanted it. Are you going to say that now it's still Mokshav HaKabal Tumah? No, the Hechsher becomes bottle when it was replanted. So then Tosfos discusses the logic behind this point of saying that it shouldn't be Mokshav HaKabal Tumah, why, when it's attached to the ground. The Ramban points out, for that matter, also, you know, the Teres Koyanim that Rashi quotes, saying inevitably you have Shrotzim running around by the cloth, but you don't always, not necessarily is going to be there going to be a dead sheretz that touched them. So therefore, so the Tana is saying that. So therefore, the Tana is saying that not only though the fact is they can't be makabel tumah when they're attached, even if a sheretz did touch them, but the fact is they're never mukshel makabel tumah either when they're wetted, even when they're attached to the ground. And again, there is the idea, of course, that when they're attached to the ground, they're always going to be wetted anyway. So the point is, therefore, this Braisa goes according to Rabbi Yochanan, and in fact, the halacha is like him that a yad does work as far as hechsher makabel tumah as well. Okay, so.